The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Come board my rocket ship. Buckle up, let's ride. Get ready for the lift. I will show you what the planets. Fly you to the moon. I will send you into warp drive, into the twilight zone. I will orbit around Uranus. Open up the hatch. See if any life down there, any crab I can catch. Cause I'll always be a behemoth, y'all. Anywhere I go, eating plenty ground pot and mashing up some dough. Gal, we heading in deep space.
We taking big and straight.
Yes, we heading in deep space.
We taking big and straight.
Look ya, young boy got plenty action. Old boy know how to pace. Get ready for the blast off.
We heading in deep space.
Yes, man. Let's go. Don't get lost in there now. Go. Jupiter, not too long past Mars. I won't ring you just like Saturn. Yeah, I'll make you see stars. I come in for a landing, making my approach. Somebody eating in the cockpit, man. I see them little behemoth roach.
Look, yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Raking, scraping space. Gotta love KB. This is one of my most favorite bohemian songs. He say, wait till you see the little flying roach on the moon. Then you know Bahamians are there. It's a very, very interesting song, and I think a very important song for Bahamians. It's one of the only songs that speaks about the future. Speaks about the potential of future Bahamians. It's a beautiful song. It's Monday, the 15th of April, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We have lots to talk about today. I want to have a conversation this week about agriculture and the Agribusiness Expo. It has returned. You may have missed it this weekend. I think tomorrow we'll be talking agriculture, local agriculture, the expo, the organization of our state's resources in terms of agriculture and food security. And we'll talk about all the things, all the beautiful things I saw at the Agribusiness Expo this weekend. I got lots of shout outs to give. I want to talk about the most innovative new thing that I saw out there. And then, of course, I want to highlight, at the very least, talk about some of the amazing high school agricultural programs that are out there, including the high school that is producing locally beauty and cosmetic products. It was fantastic, but we have lots to talk about this morning in today's Guardian PM. Why do we want to describe rape? Well, I mean, technically you have to describe it for the purpose of enacting legislation to provide recourse for the victims of this crime. We're going to get into that article in a minute. Today's Tribune. Restaurant soars thanks to TikTok star. And then some stories from last week. Let's touch on this, which I think is an extremely important story from last Friday's Guardian. Andrus Forest Fire under control. As a forest fire continued to burn in North Andrus on Thursday, Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said it was quote-unquote under control with help from New Providence. Quote, we have sent additional firefighters down there, Fernanda advised. Quote, we know that there is only one fire truck on the island that carries just about 500 gallons of water, which is not enough. I gave some instructions last evening, and the 2,000-gallon truck was placed on the mail boat yesterday evening. It arrived in Andres this morning around 1 a.m., and the officers were there to receive it and went right away to work with respect to containing that fire. Fernanda also noted that some Royal Bahamas Defense Force officers were on the island to assist. Andres Chamber of Commerce President Darren Bethel told the Nassau Guardian on Wednesday that the fire was in the middle of the forest, making it difficult for firefighters to get to it. However, Bethel said they were preventing spread near the road and communities with the use of a fire truck donated by the Bahamas Materials Company and a makeshift fire truck that was donated by the Mennonites. He noted that businesses had to close because of the smoke. Fernandez said yesterday that the smoke was still the primary challenge for residents. Quote, it's under control. There is no threat to any homes or business establishments. The only thing is the smoke. What has happened with the 500-gallon truck, as the officers out it, they have to go so far to refill that by the time they are back, the fire is ablaze and spreading. So that 2,000-gallon truck will be able to assist in a big way. So I want to commend the officers on the ground. The residents from all settlements came together. That's what it's all about, partnering to make sure that your community is safe. Absolutely. Joining me this morning is Mr. C.A. Nuri. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Today is a great day. Thanks very much, Aaron, for the invite. Thanks for having me on your show to listen to the foolishness that I'm listening to now.
I want to make this note again. I appreciate the statement by Clayton Fernanda. The residents from all settlements came together. That's what it's all about, partnering to make sure that your community is safe. I would like to stick a pin right there. Dear sir, that is only a small part of it. Those residents, though, should organize themselves and their resources with the knowledge and the trust that the state is using its resources to resolve this matter as quickly as possible. I get the impression that we believe that because no homes or businesses, no structures are in the fire zone, that this is not an emergency.
And this is why I call it foolishness. There is no sense of urgency regarding this. You know, everything seems to be, don't worry, I'm going to do this tomorrow and then later. And even though they seem to have a plan, the plan seems reactive, like an afterthought. And it seems to be continuous afterthoughts. And that's what has me frustrated right now.
I have not heard or seen the mention of BERC, Bahamas Environmental Research Center, which is located, or the last time I worked there, was located in North Andres. No reference to how BERC staff is coordinating with local residents and the state's agents to ensure that at the very least they can describe geographically the areas that have been impacted by fire, the areas that are likely to be impacted by fire, and the areas that you have to prioritize to prevent the fire spreading to said areas in hopes of protecting potentially and documented vital environmental resources, ecological resources on that island.
And I assume that will be happening afterwards. But I'll ask you this.
Hold on. But see, the problem is, after the thing has been destroyed or eradicated by fire, the only thing you have left to document is that the thing has been eradicated or destroyed by fire. That is, if it is a species that's already been identified.
But this is my concern here, in terms of up-to-date information on how much acreage has been destroyed so far.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know that? How big the fire is? What do we estimate would be the damage, amount of damage, right? A history of the area, something that you can say, okay, I understand what is happening. I still do not know what is happening in Andrus in terms of this fire,
mm-hmm.
right? I've seen that it's loose communication. Again, what I say with afterthought, it's not a comprehensive nor a continuing amount of information. If this is a national emergency, it doesn't seem to be a national emergency. It just seems to be something that is happening. Don't worry about it. We will send someone there soon. Mm-hmm. They will come and affect. We also have these people there. We're not sure what they're doing. See, I should have a narrative for the Defense Force.
Mm-hmm.
Defense Force must be doing their own press release. Why are they there? What is the support they're trying to offer? There should be a communication by the island administrator. What is their efforts inside this, right? A communication from the police in charge on the ground. This is their effort. It should be a central communication mm-hmm. center where I can get up-to-date information on how it is impacting the community, not at 7 o'clock, the news.
And let's talk about the things that have not been spoken about, have not been raised. Like you say, there's been no description of the details of the area that has already been affected, the area that is potentially affected, right? How it's spreading, the wind details, none of that. Here's another concern. What if there are people living in said bush that is burning?
Or information on whether there is people living. Not that, what if? They say, well, say, no, there is no shanty town, because you know we have a number of shanty towns all through Africa, all through Andrus, inside the pine forest. Or Bohemians who have decided to claim crown land and build.
Right.
But there's still no narrative of what is happening and how it's impacting. Have them give a warning to the public in terms of breathing the air. What should they be doing if you live like 10 miles away? Should you should you evacuate? Should you respiratory type issues? There's no information on that, like how it impacts the community.
I would hate, imagine this. Imagine that it's discovered that there was or there are one or more unregulated or illegal communities, right? And structures in the path or the general area of the fire. What if that's determined, right? Then do we need to ask the question, did somebody set this fire with the intention of destroying those structures? With disregard or no regard for potential loss of human life, right? Is it that somebody just said, well, yeah, the bushes catch fire every so often, definitely this time of year. So it must be a bushfire and everything is cool, right? I have a text here that says, I guess the answer is simple, stay out the bush. That's okay for citizens to say. I mean, it's not okay at a moral level and an ethical level, but like legally, it's okay for citizens to respond to this conversation by saying, we'll stay out the bush then. But I don't think that the state or state actors or representatives of the state can respond to that or any of these questions in the same tone, with the same attitude. The ordinary citizen does not have the same obligation, right, to potential victims or residents, people living in the bush, as an ordinary citizen would. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, how you do?
I just tuned in just now, so I don't know if you spoke about it as yet, but I heard you talking about the fire, and I mean, the reason why I called in so quick is because I had a lot of concern about it over the weekend because I didn't really see a lot of coverage on it, right?
Yes, right.
But the story I did see, I saw a story about it where the commissioner of police was talking about the fire truck down there. I think it had 500 gallons, and they sent one truck down there. I think he said the capacity was 2,000 gallons, right?
Right.
But I mean, it just goes to show the lack. I mean, I'm concerned. Why not? What about some foam dropping, some fire retardant, foam dropping helicopter, a plane fly over, drop some water. Like, I mean, it just goes to show the luck, because in a country like this, we should have at least a helicopter or something that could fly in the sea, pick up some water, fly over the scene and just drop it. I mean, it just seems, and even if we lack these things, we have the ability to call in the needed help and assistance that we need from around. You know what I mean? So for me, the lack, it seems as if there's a lack of concern by the authorities to deal with this issue. You know what I mean? You could have gotten some trackers out there and cleared a pathway where the fire container, like just go around the fire and just cut a complete area away so the fire cannot continue to spread in the bushes. I mean, it just seems as if individuals are just allowing this thing to burn. But like I said before, it goes to show the lack of resources that we have in this country, that we don't have proper fighting equipment. But like I said, I was completely disappointed when I heard the commissioner said that they only sent one fire truck on the mail boat down there. And I mean, so like I said before, I just wanted to comment on that, because I was looking all over the place to find out information about the progress, about the fire, and it seems as if like there's no coverage of it. So thank you very much, Ms. Green. Thank you very much, Ms. Nuri, and I hope you all have a nice day.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
In addition, it seems as if, particularly for the Family Islands, we depend on the kindness of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our government is not considering what infrastructure, what things Family Island people need. If foreigners do not come here and say, man, you're all desperate down here, man. Let me give you something.
You could imagine that we get the impression, and could be left with the impression from local media stories, that without the support of investors and friends of Exuma, L.N. Coakley High School may not have had a new high school bus. Right? They may not have had a new school bus, right? We look at the pace of development in Eleuthera, and we wonder, would that have been achieved without the what exists as a loose PPP between One Eleuthera Foundation and the people of Eleuthera? Producer, let's go to the phone line, and then I'm going to read these texts, and then we're going to go to another story. Banks Out Island cites a philanthropic service. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Brother Nuri.
Blessings to you.
Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. What type of deal do the government give these people when they go into the Family Islands to invest? Because that's an easy fix for the fire engine. That could be a part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
We can give you this for that.
Right.
Every Family Island should have at least one or the size of Andres should have at least two fire trucks and at least 2 to 3 ambulances.
Yep.
Okay, and that's easy, because once you cut a deal with some people, to the investors, that can come in. But the gentleman before me, he made plenty. He said a lot of the things that I wanted to say. I would have net that fire in. I'd have cut a hole around the fire and just keep the fire in one area.
Right.
Wet the road, wet where I cut. The fire can't go nowhere.
But even better,
and I can control the fire from there.
You burn a control line.
Yes.
You meet the fire with fire.
Don't forget the fire would be out at the dump. Then they bring them little plane in and spray all that foam down. You see how quick that they owe that?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You know, so let's think, man. Let's just think, you know.
Absolutely.
We need the people up there, man. That smoke. I know that smoke board in there, man.
Without a doubt. Thank you very much.
You need to think about the little kids who have that little asthma and little thing, man. Come on, man.
Listen, think about this. In the time of COVID, where respiratory issues remain, they persist, they sustain. You talking about people on a family island with already limited access to health care services, and now they dealing with this.
They did send another fire truck up there.
Right, they sent a 2,000-gallon truck up there to assist along with the makeshift fire truck that was donated by the Mennonites.
Could they just pump? I understand. I asked a fireman this one time. He said they don't bend a straw market fire. I'll never forget it. I said, why don't they just throw a hose over in the sea? Pump the water through the fire truck and just...
Because
instead
the salt,
salt water,
it will corrode. Right.
But can you wash the salt water out when you finish?
Well, I'm thinking that there's always the risk that any water source that you go to may be contaminated. So you must have the potential or the capacity built into the machine for a full flush.
Yeah, you must have it. That's an easy fix.
Well, listen, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. In fact, let's go to the next caller. If I was a politician, Mr. Newry, and I was in Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I'd be like, oh, in fact, please come to the Bahamas. Let's have a meeting.
Yeah.
In the mini ambulance that you can bring for us.
Yes.
With the AC, so the meeting will be nice.
Yes.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I missed you. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Good morning. How you do?
Doing great. I hope that you both are doing well this morning. Just want to piggyback on the two previous callers. If you can see that, again, we as a nation, we are logical thinkers. We are thinking outside of the box. You know, basically, Andrus is somewhere where we shouldn't even have to be worrying about two fire trucks. Andrus is the largest land mass in the Bahamas. There needs to be at least six fire trucks and at least four ambulances
mm-hmm.
with a full-fledged hospital or clinic there. And, you know, it behooves me that we are a reactive people, set of people. These are things that with vision, these things should have been provided a very long time. We've been discussing these things from time immemorial. Why do you think everything is so Nassau-centric? Everybody's piling up here. But who investor would want to go and invest on an island when the infrastructure is not there to sustain the basic necessities that people need to survive on that landmass? And all of our islands seem to be like that. You know, we could find money to do all kind of other things, flying all over the place, doing this thing and doing that thing. But to try and depopulate Nassau, to get our people to go back home, to build the put in the infrastructures, to provide the services that is necessary. And we're still back at square one. This is what I don't understand, okay? 60 years I've been living in this Bahamas, and you can tell me in 50 years, you know, we still at square one as if we haven't really truly accomplished anything in terms of getting our people to go back to these individual islands to build these islands. Come on, man. We got to do better than this. But thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank the Mennonites right now. Can you imagine if they weren't there and they didn't donate a fire truck?
Yes.
Maybe the whole island would have burned down.
Right. And I want Bahamians to see this example in their very own community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to begin to organize your resources to be able to provide the very basic needs. But we can talk about that because I'm not making light of Family Island people. They have so many needs. They have so many things pulling on their money. We can get to that in the next story. Good morning, caller. Let's go to this next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Aaron, you asked a question, you know, what if there are people in the bush?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be a little bit more sensitive and concerned about the life of humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be, you know, we may be assuming they're Haitians. But when you know the history and you realize there's a group called the Core Group, which comprises a lot of European nations, that are actually still punishing Haiti for the way they fought for their independence. And it looks like this punishment is set in for the lifetime of that country. And we need to consider the human life first. Now, could we use these drones to get up there and do a surveillance? I mean, we got the drones. Drones could take pictures and see exactly who is where and to know what is what. Because it could be that these people were maybe the ones starting the fire, but then that doesn't mean that they should be the ones to be burnt up. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we need to look at this from a humanitarian point of view and fix it because it really makes us look bad internationally to see what's going on.
Absolutely.
Shame on us.
Thank you, caller. Let's go to the text line. For 4 days, the national response was, quote, this happened all the time. We having lunch right now. Talk later.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I believe there was a report about Bamsey resources being destroyed. I will go and find it. The state of disaster response continues to be managed by people who seem clueless about disaster response. Another text says, Cecil, the commissioner says, it's only smoke now. My immediate thought was how absolutely unbearable it would be to breathe that smoke for 24 hours a day for 7 days. Only smoke. The text here says we don't want to use salt water because it would damage the it would burn the saline, increase in saline content will have a negative impact on the environment. But we may need to use salt water to put out the fire.
Andrews have all kind of water.
Right, I forget.
And just plug it in someplace.
Right. Is it irresponsible to speculate about what caused the fire without information? In particular, why speculate whether someone may have intentionally set the fire to displace an unregulated community, a community that may not even exist? How does that speculation benefit the discussion? Well, I'll tell you how asking questions benefits the discussion. Everything can be a teachable moment. Let me take it further. I am disappointed in the state's response given the energy that it diverts to the eradication of irregular and illegal, we call them shanty towns, and residential areas. The lack of urgency that we see may be not a lack of urgency, but a lack of competence. They don't know how to go into the bush. They don't know how to start. And then it makes me think, is this why there seems to be such delay in addressing illegal and irregular shanty towns and residential areas? But I'm thinking, surely, a government who for the last, 4 or 5 years has been focused on identifying, eradicating illegal and unregulated communities would have had a team that they could call on immediately to go into the bush, to make their way on foot through this terrain, to be able to do things like set a control fire, a control line, right? Where you burn the ground to create a barrier. You destroy the fuel that the fire needs to continue burning, right? I also asked the question because I want to highlight how dangerous a lack of urgency could potentially be. There's also a concern that unscrupulous individuals or rogue individuals or individuals are setting fires in irregular communities to prompt those communities being cleared and irregular and undocumented migrants being removed from said land. These are all things that we should be talking about. And if we had these conversations in structured ways, conversations initiated by agencies that are a part of systems that are operated to deal with these issues, then perhaps the conversation wouldn't seem so inflammatory. Maybe listeners wouldn't be so comfortable. But this is what conversations at the national level should look like. Another text, how come other countries protect their forests and people, but this government sympathizes with criminals? Immigration needs to be there to carry those illegals back so they don't start any more forest fires to make coal. So, Texter, this is an example of the type of commentary that can be dangerous. The type of commentary that perhaps should be moderated. Because there is no evidence yet of how the fire started. I would like my government to begin presenting information differently so as to prevent commentary like this. Texas says if they can turn salt water to drinking water, then they should be able to find a way to pump it through a machine to deal with fire. I told you all last week, Jerome Fitzgerald used all of the miracles we had budgeted for this year. We got to wait for the new budget. Talking about turning salt water into fresh water. Aaron C.A., while that Andrus fire is devastating, I was in Lewis Yard, Grand Bahama this weekend, and it is an absolute abomination and betrayal of our human race for successive governments to allow the people of Lewis Yard and the surrounding settlements to live in that environment where the air is saturated with the smell of petroleum. I would like to try to do something about that situation, but really do not know where to begin. It was horrifying and beyond sad to experience that. I can imagine, could imagine you living, growing up in that area, spending your whole life in that area because you don't have the resources or you cannot figure out how to move yourself or your family out of that area. Texts are definitely another issue that should be looked into, and hopefully the attention being drawn to Grand Bahama by the discussion between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the Bahamian government will allow for conversations about this, because I think it's distasteful that people are living like this while the government and the GBPA argue over their responsibilities to the people of Grand Bahama. Boy, texter, caller, I am sorry. Let's go to the phone line quickly, and then we could take a break, and I want to transition to the next story. Let's go. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
You know, I completely agree with you. It's not often I call the shows, but when I do, it's because we're mistreating our Bahamian people. Let me explain. Kendall Colbert, KCX, do you remember him?
Yes, sir.
He told me that there was a lot of cases of cancer on his street. Gave me a number, and I wouldn't do it because we fixate. And it was a special type of bone cancer, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wanted an investigation. Find out what street he grew up on in Grand Bahama, and then you'll understand what we should be investigating as environment concerned people. Now, back to the fire truck, the ambulance, and a building to put the fire truck in, because in North Eleuthera, someone donated, it appeared to be a $1 million fire truck, looked like something out of New York, and didn't have a building to put it completely in, and the rain did some damage to it, rendering it what appears to be useless, but I'm not an expert. A fire truck, an ambulance, and a proper building to put them in, and a one-story operating theater in that building, you could call it a small hospital, should have been top, center, and bottom of every one of our major islands in this country after 50 years. And I know you agree, because there's no way you could ever say you don't. And if they asked where the money would come from to do it, well, there's a problem. That's just simple as that. And now I want one recommendation, switching gears, for Village Road. We've had so many incidents now on Village Road. We need to put some potholes there, not speed bumps, potholes on Village Road so that we can slow traffic down.
Thank you.
Now you have a special day.
Thank you, Graham. We don't need potholes. We just need police there. We just need police there. Let me rephrase that. We need police who have their car windows down, who understand what the traffic controls they're supposed to be enforcing are, and who understand that all police officers are also traffic officers. Before we transition to the next story, let me answer some of these texts. Aren't you making a suggestion that someone set the fire to push out illegal communities? So why is it a problem to suggest that the illegal community may be responsible for the fire? Isn't your commentary just as dangerous? Oh, my. Once again, my critique is of the lack of urgency and information provided by the state in relation to this fire. I pointed out a couple of issues that, if we become aware of them after the fire, we would then sit back in retrospect and say, we should have thought about that. That's something that we should have considered. That's something that we should have dealt with earlier in this whole affair. Let's use some critical thinking. Thank you, texter. Another texter says, Aaron, that narrative about persons starting the fire for coal is an example of how silly we can be as a people. That type of thinking makes for perfect conks. Well, the inability to think critically does put the individual at a disadvantage. Another text is, Florida going to sue the Bahamas for damaging their air and environmental impact issue. I think they should. Maybe we'll start to take things seriously. One fire truck in the whole of Andrus, jokes, but millions on travel. I'm not sure if there's only one fire truck in Andrus. What I do know is that the BPL power station in North Andrus burned to the ground. Yes, indeed, it burned to the ground. Another texter says, ah, Lewis Yard, yes, where residents report the ground shakes every so often after loud noises. After one loud noise ground shaking event, men in hazmat suits. Oh, this is a text again. I'm reading. Men in hazmat suits showed up apparently doing cleanup work. It must be at least 7 years later with no report on what they were cleaning up and why the cleanup on one side of the fence was unnecessary on the other side of the fence. Their texter, yes, lots to be investigated. Lots to be investigated. The point of this conversation is to bring continued attention to the fire in Andrus to ensure that the state will have available to it all of the resources it needs to be able to deal with this fire and to ask critical questions about the fire and the impact it may have on Andrus and the wider Bahamas. Tech say, if we put police on Village Road, they will end up by Dunkin' Donuts. Police, they even a Dunkin' Donuts on Village Road. Is there a Dunkin' Donuts? No, that's not on Village Road. That's on Soldier Road, sir. And those officers would never abandon their posts. Not for no donuts. I don't believe it. Producer, let's go to a commercial. And then when we come back from this commercial, we're going to read from the article, Banks Out Island Sites, a philanthropic service. And then we're going to read from the article, Man Asks to Avoid Ankle Monitor because he says it attracts sharks. That's okay, sir, because Bahamians can't gamble anyway. That's the only place you can find a shark on land. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool to know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your gal. Come witness history in the making at the 2024 World Athletic Relays Chase the Sun, Paradise to Paris, happening here in Nassau, Bahamas. Hundreds of the best runners from more than 40 countries will compete for their place in the 2024 Paris Olympics, May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets early at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Mr. C.A. Nuri is joining me this morning. Let's get into this article. Banks Out Island Sites, a philanthropic service. This is from Thursday's Nassau Tribune. Bank of the Bahamas' top executive yesterday described its family island presence as an act of philanthropy. Amid complaints that woes at its branch have left South Eleuthera in, quote, a dire situation, close quotes. Neil Strawn, the BISIC's listed institution's managing director, confirmed to Tribune Business that the automated teller machine at its South Eleuthera branch was, quote, up and down, close quotes, due to frequent breakdowns that have forced businesses and individuals to, quote, queue from morning to night, close quotes, in a bid to access their money, revealing that Bank of the Bahamas is exploring, quote, agency banking, close quotes, as an alternative means to provide more efficient financial services. He added that, quote, zero, close quote, Family Island branches are profitable, and its continued presence in these locations is only maintained at the behest of its majority shareholder, the government. Mr. Strawn also argued that Family Island communities are failing to uphold their side of the relationship, saying many persons were, quote, quick to complain, close quotes, when things go wrong, yet fail to provide sufficient support. As an example, he cited a recent business symposium held in Eleuthera that was attended by a six-strong Bank of the Bahamas team, yet only five persons from the business community attended. The Bank of the Bahamas chief spoke out after multiple South Eleuthera businesses argued that the loss of the ATM, the, quote, only facility for 60 miles, close quotes, before reaching Governor's Harbor, had exacerbated problems caused by the bank's failure to keep pace with the area's rapid economic growth driven by investments such as Disney Cruise Line's Lighthouse Point project. Chris Cates, a Rock Sound resident who operates a gas station and lumber hardware store with his family, told Tribune Business that as many as 40 persons can be found queuing outside Bank of the Bahamas' branch at any one time, as they can only gain access to their accounts manually. Asserting that the branch's ATM has been offline for about a week, he said, quote, we are really challenged here. I want to sensitize the powers that be to our plight. We are really struggling. South Eleuthera has seen a resurgence in our economy thanks to Disney and Lighthouse Point. Unfortunately, Bank of the Bahamas has not been able to keep pace. Mr. Strawn yesterday argued that it was, quote, accurate, close quotes, to say the South Eleuthera branch's ATM is presently offline and that there have been frequent problems with it. He explained that IBM, the machine's manufacturer, does not keep the necessary spare parts in the Bahamas, and these have to be sourced from Florida, which delays repairs and lengthens the time taken to restore its services. Quote, the ATM has been up and down, close quotes, the Bank of the Bahamas managing director confirmed. Wow. He added that some persons, quote, sit out from 7 a.m. in the morning hoping to be first in line, with his elderly mother, who handles banking for the family's business, sometimes making up to four attempts per day to deposit money and even returning home unable to accomplish this. Further in the article, Mr. Strawn, though, argued that the relationship with Family Island communities is, in effect, a two-way street, and Bank of the Bahamas is not receiving sufficient support for maintaining unprofitable branches to serve them. I'm going to stick a pin right there. I'm stunned. But the first thing I did when I read this article is I did some research on Bank of the Bahamas to ask the question, what is BOB's relationship with the government? Because for a little while, it's called Bank of the Bahamas. You'd have thought maybe it was the government's bank. You see the resolve mechanism, right? Remember that, resolve? Mm-hmm. Bank of the Bahamas?
Yep.
You saw that, you would really think that maybe this is Bank of the Bahamas is not a government-owned bank. BOB is a modern full-service bank with 12 branches in 8 islands. I don't know if y'all really can keep full service in the front there anymore. I continue. With 12 branches in 8 islands, Nassau, Grand Bahama, Andros, Bimini, Cat Island, Eleuthera, Inagua, and San Salvador. And a long history of firsts in the local banking industry. Bank of the Bahamas Limited was incorporated in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as Bank of Montreal, parentheses, Bahamas and Caribbean, close parentheses, Limited. In 1983, its name was changed to Bank of Montreal, Bahamas Limited. 5 years later, in September 1988, the government of the Bahamas created a joint venture with Euro-Canadian Bank Limited and purchased 100% of the shares of Bank of Montreal, Bahamas Limited and renamed it Bank of the Bahamas Limited with a 51% controlling interest. During the second half of 1990, the government purchased all of the shares held by Euro-Canadian Bank Limited and issued an additional 7 million shares, bringing the total number of shares issued to 10 million. During September 1994, the government sold 20% of its shareholding, or 2 million shares, to the Bahamian public. In October 1995, the government offered a further 3 million shares of the bank to the Bahamian public. You can find this information on Bank of the Bahamas' website. I would advise that you go there and reread it, right, for a fuller understanding, as I am short on time. So the Bank of the Bahamas is not a government-owned bank, not 100% government-owned. The article itself, Mr. Strawn, indicates that the government is the majority shareholder in the Bank of the Bahamas, and that they have been maintaining these family island branches at the request of the government, not at the request of their actual... Well, what that statement I read implies, or what I infer from it, is that it's not at the request of the customers that actually use the bank because they need the bank services on these islands. It's the government. That's the reason why they maintain these services in the family island. I am okay with you withdrawing your service from the island. I'm okay with you telling us we should shush and be thankful that we could even see a bank in the family. I'm okay with that. I would just prefer that you take the words Bank of the Bahamas off all of your paperwork, all of your legal documents. Just stop calling yourself Bank of the Bahamas. And then you could do all of this with no complaints or grumbling, because if you are Bank of the Bahamas, there's an expectation that you're going to provide this service equally and equitably throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Banks are in it to make profit. Just at this present time, the family islands do not offer profit.
Dear sir, I would not disagree with you, but it's also 2024. And banking is not just a necessary service. You actually cannot engage many government services without a bank account, because you're going to need to now pay online. Many government services are now cashless or on their way to cashless, which means that even if you don't have a bank account, you need to be able to access a credit card, a debit card, or a Visa card that will allow you, a card of some sort that will allow you to load it with money, so that you can use these cashless services.
One would assume, and that this is where my critique comes, that the central bank would have initiated, have a plan, partner with government to have their sand dollar concept permeate all of the family island. Government employees should be paid in cash and in sand dollars, so we could start commerce. This option of I get in cash or I get it on my bank account seems is not convincing or making it able or applicable for family islands to use.
See, here's my thing. It's 2024, and there are many dictionaries in the country. And I'm wondering if people understand what the word archipelago means. And then I wonder if state actors who engage these companies understand that a part of doing business in the Bahamas is having the capacity to provide a service across an archipelago. I would hate to think that people are using the Cable Bahamas model, where you initially commit to providing your service across the archipelago, and then you begin to tell all and sundry in the country that it's impossible to provide your service across the archipelago, despite beginning your contraction, your relationship with the claim that you intend to provide this service across the archipelago. The Bahamas is a particular type of country. We are archipelagic. And anyone intending to provide a service in this country must understand that they have an obligation to provide said service equitably and equally across the archipelago.
I guess you just need to charge the public. Just increase the rate.
Increase what? Fees?
Yeah, fees. If you want it in Auckland and for four people to use it, make sure it's expensive, then they can pay for it.
I'm just saying, it's 2024. Banking is an essential service. Yes. It's not no longer a privilege to have a bank account. You require a bank account.
We have a prime minister who mentioned to Crooked Island people that they should consider leaving the island altogether.
I mean, I also noted we had a deputy prime minister that suggested that the development of islands like Crooked Island, I mean, Ragged Island, one of them was standing on Ragged Island at the time, may depend on foreign direct investors. Mm. Here's a text. I don't know about this. There is a charge to convert sand dollars to cash or bank account. The employee forced to accept sand dollar payments must then pay a tax to a payment provider and the bank before accessing their money. Okay, you may have to pay a fee to transfer your digital dollar to cash, paper, right, to extract cash from a machine, but there is no fee attached to transactions paid in or satisfied with sand dollar, our digital Bahamian dollar. The fee would arise, if it arises, when you convert the digital dollar to cash by extracting cash from a machine.
What would the third party, if I use a put my sand or access my sand dollar using a third party system? Isn't there a fee there?
You can link your sand dollar account to your bank account. Right? And you can load your sand dollar account directly from your phone without needing to go to one of the kiosks and insert the cash to the kiosk and have the digital dollar transfer to your phone. You can transfer money from your bank account on your phone directly to your sand dollar account. Mm-hmm. The vendor that is receiving the sand dollar payment does not pay a fee to receive the sand dollar payment from you either. Hmm. There are more details, right? Central Bank, in fact, the sand dollar adoption unit staff are best suited to answer all of these questions. But there is no fee incurred by using your sand dollar with a vendor that accepts sand dollar.
I would have assumed that all of the family islands would have been sand dollarized by now. Completely sand dollarized.
I know that the sand dollar adoption unit has. I know that the sand dollar adoption unit is currently engaged, right, and has been for the last 3, 4, 5 years in family island communities, business communities, individual residents. That is actively happening. I think the sand dollar unit will be in Andrus next weekend or weekend after next, for the Bering Point Fish Fry Festival, right? They will be down there as well. But even if sand dollar is an option, even if it is an additional or an alternative payment method, that doesn't mean that a conversation is not required about equal and equitable access to traditional banking services and systems because not all of the needs of Family Island residents can be satisfied with San dollar payments. Hey, Aaron, why are we still encouraging cash ATMs on the Family Islands? Make it make sense. Dear sir or madam, have you lived on a Family Island recently? Do you understand the culture of various Family Islands, the business culture, the recreational culture, the social culture, how people shop, how they live? Do you understand these things? Also, do you understand one of the biggest barriers to the implementation of these systems is the dereliction in oversight for the provision of electricity and communication services in these islands? We are all out of time. Producer, play that music, please. And hopefully Mr. Newry will allow me to bother him in the next hour. Maybe I could tell him about how I tried to adopt a lobster at the Agribusiness Expo this weekend. Because I can't guard a whole ocean, but I could keep two or three lobsters safe at my home for the closed lobster season. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. We go into a break, and when we come back from the great break, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.